Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. Very special edition of our Center for City Building segment. This Friday edition, something I learned from going on a few walks, some bike tours, some scooter tours, talking to people about architecture too. You know, they're kind of relics and reminders of where we came from, is that the more we know about our city, the more we feel connected to it, the more we respect it and want it to live up to all it can be. We're a pretty sweet mid-sized city, I think, situated in a really unique location geographically. We're rich with history and a fascinating history too. It's amazing what we walk by and bike by and drive by on a day-to-day basis. And when we get the story on it, it's almost like a light bulb goes off. The history of Windsor's McDougal Street corridor is going to be brought to life with a new walking tour project aided by a $235,000 federal funding. Officials announced this yesterday. Windsor Law Center for Cities at the University of Windsor has received this $235,000 funding through the Government of Canada for the McDougal Street corridor project. Eric Kuzmarichik, Member of Parliament for Windsor-Tecumseh, made the announcement yesterday at Alton C. Parker Park, which is a park named after the first black officer on the Windsor Police Force and the first black detective in Canada. And with this funding, Center for Cities, along with their partners, Parallel 42 Systems, will develop an augmented reality application that supports education walking tours that will be held through the heart of the McDougal Street corridor. We were there. Bringing the stories of Windsor's McDougal Street corridor to life will include a website and an app that outline the history of the neighborhood, traditionally a prominent and important black neighborhood in Windsor, steeped in Canadian history. And the project, as I said, is funded by the federal government. They're My Main Street program, which supports projects that revitalize neighborhoods. And as we mentioned, the funding was awarded to Center for Cities at the University of Windsor. And what an amazing team, you know, Center for Cities with Parallel 42 Systems, Essex County Black Historical Research Society, several Windsor departments, of course, along with master's researcher Willow Key, who's working on documenting the neighborhood's history for the project. And joining us on the phone to talk about this amazing, fun, fascinating, way cool project, we have master's researcher with the University of Windsor, Willow Key, and on the tech side of things from Parallel 42 Systems, Doug Sartori. Doug and Willow, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you, Dan.
Thank you. So first off, Willow, huge congrats on funding for this project. Totally amazing that Center for Cities scored this. And I'm sure a lot of work and effort from various partners went into securing this funding.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it was really a collaborative effort between the Essex County Black Historical Research Society, Center for Cities, Parallel 42, and many departments at the university. So everyone working together in the city to try and get this done.
Love that. Great announcement. So awesome. And, you know, Willow, we talked a bit about this before, this specific area. This had to be a fascinating project to research. Can you tell us why this area, just for those who might not remember the segment we did, why this area is so relevant? Because many don't know the historical significance of the McDougal Street corridor.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different streams of history sort of coming together with this project. Part of it is looking at Black history. And the McDougal Street corridor was settled by freedom seekers in the mid-19th century that came to Canada and settled in the downtown area. And over the next century, it was built up by their descendants. But also another aspect of it is post-war urban renewal. So there's a lot going into the project and a lot of things for people to learn.
Mm. When beginning a research project like this, Willow, I want to ask about the app in a moment, but where do you even begin to start collecting the stories, the artifacts? It feels like a really fun, fascinating, but also very daunting task.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, there's the community aspect of the history, and then there's also the redevelopment aspect, which involves all three levels of government. So there was a lot to go through. But I started by talking to people in the community, and I've been incredibly fortunate to have so many people help me contact elders in the community and conduct oral interviews. So that's really where it all started.
That had to be amazing for you as well, hearing these people tell these stories about a place we drive by often or walk through or bike through. That had to be amazing for you to experience. I can't imagine being a part of something like that.
Definitely. Yeah. You walk around that neighborhood now and, you know, they're describing what life was like there, 60 years ago, 50 years ago. And it's just sort of incredible that it's changed so much. So, and you know, being able to talk to people, you learn things about, you know, members of the community, but I was also fortunate enough to learn things about my own family. So it was really all-encompassing.
I love that. And what was it that, when did we kind of lose touch with all of those stories and they became like a kind of a forgotten history? Do we know much about that, of what happened?
Yeah, well, I would say, based on what I have been able to find, a lot of the community connections sort of frayed after the redevelopment. The churches, there were six main churches right in the heart of the McDougal Street corridor. And for Black communities, churches are so vital. And when some of them were expropriated, it took time for them to rebuild their new churches in and outside of the area. And so a lot of the community organizations and clubs and get-togethers sort of stopped for a little bit. And, you know, people are moving out of the area for a variety of different reasons, but also because there's new public housing coming in and homes are being expropriated. So I think that was sort of the beginning of a slow decline where these really important connections are starting to come apart.
Right. I'm gonna ask Doug a bit too about the app and the website went up. But Will, can you kind of tell us what are these walking tours all about? How do they work?
Yeah, so it's a self-guided walking tour, and part of the funding that we received, there will be an app to support the walking tour. So you can start from anywhere within the map of the tour, and you'll just go around. It can be done in a group or individually. And you'll stop at a specific location that you are taken to by the app, and we'll provide you with images and stories and commentary from members of the community. So it'll be really all-encompassing when you're a part of the tour.
Love that. And Doug, I know you developed a lot of the tech, developing a lot of the tech too, from Parallel 42 Systems. How will this work? So I'm curious to know too, the QR codes and whatnot, I'm curious to know how they're going to be placed for accessibility.
Well, the specific placement of the QR codes is not something I'm totally clear on, but I'm sure they will be placed such that folks can easily get at them and engage with the application.
Right. Where does one begin putting an app through like this? Because I think it's the coolest thing. I wish there were more things like this. What spoke to you about this project when you were approached?
Well, we love to make digital maps, and we also love to work with community organizations and do things that are going to enhance our community. So when we designed the application, we were really thinking about all the different ways that someone might interact with it. And we made choices so that whether or not you are deliberately going, as Willow said, with a group or planning to visit the McDougal Corridor, or if you just happen upon one of the QR codes, get curious, scan it, and want to take part, that both of those scenarios are supported. So we built a web application. You don't have to, or we're building a web application. You don't have to install anything or plan ahead of time. You can just sort of engage with it as a happy accident while you're visiting that part of the community.
I love this kind of thing. It's like Pokemon Go, but for your city in a way, sort of kinda. But so basically, it's literally an interactive walk. You got your headphones on, kind of thing, and it will tell you a story. You'll hear voices from the people who are sharing whatever significant story is attached to the area that you're in. That's kind of how it's going to work.
Yep, that's right. And no matter where you start, the app will identify for you where the next location that you can visit is and let you know which locations you visited and which you still have yet to visit. So you can make multiple trips, take it in as many bites as you want.
I love this. And what a great way to get to know the city, this area and its significance. Could this be something, Doug, do you think, that could kind of work for other areas or communities, this template for this specific project?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. We are building the application as an open source application. And what that means is that we are sharing the source code with anyone who wants to download it, along with instructions for how to make it work for them. And that's a really important, I think, secondary benefit to this project, is that we're building capacity for communities really across the country who want to do this. You don't have to go and hire a developer or buy an app off the shelf. If you want to build a walking tour of your own, you'll be able to download our code and read the instructions and set up your own tour for your own community.
I love this. And augmented reality. So, I mean, my ultimate fantasy would be, I always wish somebody who had the tech know-how could get behind doing this. This is kind of a step to it, where we would put on some kind of virtual reality glasses or Google goggles or something. And wherever you look, you would see the city as it was back in that time. I thought that would always be a really, really interesting project. I have no idea if it's possible or not, but this to me sounds like the closest thing to it of a way to experience part of our city the way it was before. Is this going to be kind of a resource tool as well? I imagine like a lot of school boards would be interested in this kind of thing as well.
Yep, for sure. The website that is being put together in collaboration with the Leti Library contains lots of resources, and you don't need to take the tour to be able to experience all this information. So a class could review the information in the classroom and then go visit the site as well and see the history for themselves.
Love that. And Willow, what would you say, Willow, is the ultimate aim and goal of this particular project for you from your standpoint as a researcher?
Yeah, well, I think what I've learned over the course of a year conducting the research is that there are a lot of people, not just here in Windsor, but across the province and certainly across Canada, that don't know or don't have an understanding of how important Windsor is in terms of Black history, and the close connections between Black Canadians and Black Americans in this area. And so I hope that when we talk about, you know, the larger picture of Black history in North America and Black history in Canada, that Windsor is also part of that discussion.
Yeah, you know, with the Emancipation Jubilee coming up this weekend, I was talking with Leslie McCurdy from the Black Council of Windsor, Essex, and she was saying, you know, it would be great if the way Toronto is known for their Caravana Festival, if Windsor could be known for the Emancipation Jubilee, like it was back in the day, then kind of got erased. So it's so great that this is coming back. And I know, understand too, Willow, you are still looking for artifacts from people, stories, recordings. What is it you're still looking for and putting together?
Yeah, so anyone who is interested in participating in an oral history interview, I'd love to speak with them. But certainly, I think what we need most at the moment would be photos, family photos, photos of the area. Videos, anything like that.
And what years are we talking about here? What is the period that we're most looking at?
So I would say if people have photos or videos or any information or artifacts from the 1930s up until maybe the 1970s, the redevelopment really took place heavily in the early to mid 1960s.
Okay.
So sort of between that period.
Perfect. And any word on when this is going to be up and running and ready for use?
Yeah, we're hoping to have everything ready to go, I believe, in the winter, so November, December, but it will all be available in time for Black History Month.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Willow Key, Doug Sartori, I really appreciate your time this morning. What a fantastic, what a cool project, and appreciate your time today for coming on to talk about it.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Going to be a great thing. I love this. Big, huge congratulations to everyone from Center for Cities on the funding. Totally incredible. And I really do hope, like Doug said, this template will work for other areas to kind of use this. It would be great if we could map the whole city through this and get different types of tours. More conversation continues. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show.